I really believe there's an opportunity for expansion. We're certainly not giving up on Atlantic Canada, not by any stretch, but certainly one market that everyone thinks about is Quebec City. There's a great football culture in Quebec City.
That's right. Welcome to the Waggle. And we are, this is wild, just 3 weeks away from CFL free agency. It feels like the season just ended and the confetti is still falling. But we're into the business season if you work for the CFL league office, or the off season if you work for one of the teams, because movement has already begun. We have lots more on that in the coming weeks, certainly. So make sure you don't miss anything. Stay subscribed to this very podcast, The Waggle, wherever you get your podcast, and make sure you're following us on all socials, or just keep CFL.ca as a tab on your favorite browser and just refresh periodically so you're up to date on all things CFL offseason. If you haven't noticed yet, this is not me being long-winded as I usually am. It is because Enoch is at beautiful New Brunswick, so you got me, Donovan Bennett, alone this episode. But this is not going to be the only voice that you hear, because we are going to talk to, first and foremost, the commissioner of the CFL, Randy Ambrosi. That's right. We spoke to him actually around CFL meetings a few weeks ago, as you recall. But in that conversation, we looked forward to the 2024 season. We recapped the 23 season. And of course, we talked about your favorite topic. No, not rule changes, but league expansion. Although we kind of mentioned some rule changes as well. You'll have to stay tuned for the full conversation. The conversation this offseason thus far has been about the Ottawa Redblacks. They've been busy. And actually, at those same league meetings, we spoke to the man who's been very busy, GM Sean Burke. We'll have that interview for you as well on this episode of the podcast. So it is a jammed, packed one. As maybe Sean Burke has got some inspiration from us in terms of his offseason work, is some of the conversations that we've had, myself and Enoch, over the last couple of weeks on what they should do specifically at the QB position. Well, he's just gone out and done it. But more of that coming up. First and foremost, again, remember, subscribe, like, favorite, share, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube clips, because you need to check in just to see what we look like when we're giving you your CFL information, and CFL.ca, where you can get all of your CFL content. Make sure you are locked in so that you get the push alerts directly to your device of choice. If you were scrolling online last week looking for all things football as you yearn to get back to the CFL season in the spring, summer, you probably, like me, saw a lot of content about the Bills and the Chiefs. And the content wasn't about a very famous country or pop star, depending on which album is your favorite. It wasn't just about necessarily the action on the field, and condolences to our friends who are Bills fans, whether that's Argos QB and Bills fan and former NFL player and Chad Kelly, former Bills player Corey Mace, who's obviously friend of the pod and about to do a great job in Saskatchewan, everyone in Southern Ontario. It was another version of wide right. So our friends in the Windsor-Chatham area, Lions fans as well as CFL fans, they're feeling a bit better today than our Bills fans. But we love you all. And as you know, if you're a football fan, you often love all types of football. So we are football agnostic. CFL game is the best, but we watch the other versions of football in our downtime. If you watch the game, or if you were following online, you may have noticed, and there's actually a bunch of crazy stats that Gen Zers often don't watch sporting events, they just follow them online. But if you actually watch the game or followed online, you may have noticed that there was some CFL presence in the house. No, not T-Swift, and not Big Brother Kelsey, but Zach Kolaros, who not only played at Cincinnati with the Kelsey brothers, was roommate of Killer Trav, while they were Bearcats. He was in the back of that booth with some famous people, the back of the suite, if you will, wearing some Chiefs gear, so it was clear who he was cheering for, but no doubt it was just good to see him. And no doubt Kelce had to show out for his former teammate. Hasn't had a multi-score game all year. He decides the biggest game of the year to go off for 2 touchdowns and 75 yards. Fortunately, for Bills fans, Stephon Diggs did not exactly go off, as not only did he drop what probably would have been a touchdown through his hands, my guy hasn't had a touchdown since week 6 of the NFL season. Not ideal. Speaking of bomber QBs, Drew Brown, who is one of the most coveted free agents in the league, when free agency actually opens, famous for being Zach Kolaris' backup and doing a great job, whether in blowouts or in games where Zach was injured or taking a scheduled rest day when they clinch. Well, free agency opens on February 14th, so don't forget to get ready for Valentine's Day and get ready for CFL free agency. We talked last week on the show about how after McLeod Bethel-Thompson back in the league but off the board, Drew Brown probably the next best fit in Ottawa. Well, Sean Burke doesn't just join the show, he listens to it, because he went out and he traded a 5th-round selection in the upcoming CFL draft to Winnipeg for the rights to Drew Brown. So you remember probably some similar situations, whether it was Calgary trading Bo Levi Mitchell to Hamilton, you know, right before the Grey Cup, Hamilton having, you know, the opportunity to work out a deal with Bo before he hit outright free agency. Nick Arbuckle was a similar case in the past, that time going from Calgary to Ottawa. So there's no guarantee Drew Brown actually stays in Ottawa by signing in Ottawa, but they have this exclusive window, as short as it might be, to show him the vision, get him on board, get him signed to a contract. So I think we've seen enough to know that Drew Brown could be a starter in this league. Ottawa clearly thinks so. Clearly, Winnipeg knew he was probably going to get starter-like offers, thus might as well get something back in return, because it would be tough to convince him to come back and be a backup if other teams were willing to give him starter money. So the ripple effect in our mind goes, what does that mean for Chris Streveler, former NFL player, returning potentially to the CFL, potentially to where he played so well in Winnipeg? They're now looking for some help in that QB room and for backup. Don't want to give away the interview too soon, but in future weeks, we'll have Kyle Walters on the show. And one of his beliefs is you need a quarterback room that's strong. Could Chris Streveler be part of that answer? Or does he believe, when I was in the backup in Winnipeg, the stats that I put up were comparable, if not better, than Drew Brown's. I should be coming back into the CFL as a starter. That will be interesting to watch as we head into free agency. So again, keep this space locked. Someone who probably doesn't have as much of a vested interest and opinion on where those dominoes fall, but loves the fact that we love to talk about them because it shows that the league is healthy, is Randy Ambrosi. And there is a lot of excitement, no matter where these players end up, towards the 2024 season, both on the field and in the business. So who better to give us a status update of where the league is, what they're looking to do, than the commissioner himself? So how about I shut the hell up and we get to our chat with Randy Ambrosi. So, Randy, it is 2024, not the off season, but maybe the second season, if you will, as we look at changing the calendar and getting into next year's season. Before we look forward, let's look back. Your appraisal on the 2023 season, if you could give it a letter grade, it would be what?
Yeah, you'd be honest. I think it was an A in both on the field, and it was an A off the field. Which is how I think about our business. It was we had a phenomenal year, you know, at 51 points scored per game. You know, the emergence of some really young, talented quarterbacks. The level of competitiveness across the league was very high. We've seen teams that were doing some struggling, you know, start to show some signs of recovery. Teams that are up and comers, you know, some talent that emerged that I think is exciting for their future. So on the field, I would give us an A. And of course, the season ended in that one of the great Grey Cup games of all time, and watching Montreal win the way they did, I think you can't help but feel great about our game and so appreciative of our coaches and players for, you know, helping to put what I think is a truly fun, fast, and entertaining brand of football in the marketplace. So that was good. And then off the field, I'm scoring it an A because of all the success we had in almost every category, you know, and our TV ratings were up significantly. Really importantly, in that 25 to 54 category, which is the one that everyone seems to care about the most, up 34% last year. That's probably one of the most significant improvements in sports history. We saw, general attendance. Look at the playoffs, what's happened in BC, Toronto, Montreal, attendance success, just across almost everything that we measure, we saw significant improvement. So I think we had a really good year. It set a foundation for the future for us, which is the important thing. But as I was reminded when I met with the governors in December, now we have to do something with it. And we have to turn all of that momentum into long-term success. And that's what we're focused on.
You know, I remember talking to you when you took the job, and one of the key principles was you wanted to do things in pencil, not pen. Given the success of last year, as you look forward to improvements, to tweaks, where do you see some opportunities for further growth in 2024?
We're going to, as we do every year, and led by Greg Dick and his football operations team, we're going to look at the game. You know, we're out of big changes. We're certainly probably do some changes around the fringes. Real focus on player safety. You know, what other changes can we make there? So that's a kind of a constant area for, you know, for review and hopefully some enhancements that'll really help us. You know, off the field is a focus on execution. That's really where we are now, is it's not so much changing what we're doing. In fact, it's not. It's really focusing on taking the foundation that we've created, our off-the-field strategies relating to our marketable fan program, and now is to execute to make sure that we're getting the maximum benefits from all of the investments that the owners have made in our business over the past several seasons. So I'm thinking for us, it's not so much, Donovan, about making changes as it is now about executing against the plan that's been proven and well in place.
Schedule is something that people look forward to, and that's out. Obviously, we're going to have free agency coming up. As we look forward to 2024, is there a specific aspect to the upcoming season that really excites you?
Yeah, there is. Well, just, you know, look at talking about this season, the business season, if I can call it that, going to Winnipeg for the combine, you know, the Bombers to Wade Miller's credit, to the, you know, Mike O'Shea to Kyle Walters, what they've done in Winnipeg is really special. To go to Winnipeg, have Winnipeg host the combine, I think is going to be fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to that. And of course, it's a trip home for me as well, which I always enjoy. That's important. I'm looking forward to, you know, free agency, looking forward to the draft. Always one of the best parts of this job is being able to call the names of these, you know, great Canadian players who will be future stars in our league. So I'm looking forward to that. And then when you start to think about the season itself, you know, the Grey Cup rematch in week one, I think that's going to be a real special game for us. Certainly, there's lots of matchups, as we know, looking back at our history, there's lots of matchups you're always looking forward to. Canada Day, as an example, you're looking forward to Labor Day. But this year, going to Victoria is going to be, I think, a real, you know, it's going to be an exciting thing to be part of. And you know, a shout out to Amar Doman and Dwayne Veneau for, you know, for putting up their hand and wanting to do that. I was there in December for the announcement. There's incredible enthusiasm in that market to see a CFL game in Victoria. So that's an event I'm looking forward to. And then, of course, going to BC Place for Grey Cup this year. You know, we haven't been to BC Place. It's going to be 10 years. And really looking forward to, you know, being back in that beautiful building in that phenomenal market. And now, based on what Amar and Dwayne and Coach Campbell and the whole organization have done there, it's going to be an exciting city for the CFL to descend on and be part of that community in November this year. So again, I could go on and on, Donovan. I don't think you want me to. I'm looking forward to getting into 2024. There's lots to look forward to.
Expansion is always a conversation that people want constant updates on. Is there a tangible one in terms of potential expansion in the Maritimes or even in Quebec?
It is a priority for me. It's a priority that I've been, it's not of my own making. This is a priority that our governors have asked me to embrace, and I certainly have. I really believe there's an opportunity for expansion. Look, we're certainly not giving up on Atlantic Canada, not by any stretch, but at some point you have to, you know, say, okay, look, we've kind of done all that we can do. And I hope that Atlantic Canadians and certainly Atlantic Canadian sports fans would say, you know, we've shown a lot of love to that region. I've made it clear that we would like to be there. I think that the region now has to find a way to pull us in if in fact that's, part of our destiny. If it's not there, we are talking about building a plan to have a conversation in other markets. Certainly one market that everyone thinks about is Quebec City, with all of the success they've had in sports in general, the success they've had with the Rouge et Or. There's a great football culture in Quebec City. One of the strongest amateur football communities in all of Canada is in Quebec City. Lots of reasons to like it as a market, but we're going to take there's a carpenter's expression. I think you call it a carpenter's axiom, measure twice and cut once. So we're going to take a measure twice and cut once approach. And then at the appropriate time, have conversations there. We're also, Donovan, having conversations with other markets who have put up their hand and asked us about the possibility of bringing our touchdown game to other markets. So I've had two unsolicited conversations from Canadian cities that have said, hey, how about us for a touchdown game? So that's exciting as well, and something that I'm looking forward to pursuing.
It's an exciting time in sport in Canada, and you look at the marketplace across the board, sports is growing, and you're not just obviously a fan of football, you're a fan of sport. You look at what's happening with the PWHL and the fan bases that have shown in markets that are also CFL markets. If you had a piece of advice, given the way you've grown the game, to Jana Hefford and her team, what would it be?
Oh, I'm not sure that I'm in the advice giving business, Donovan. I think that like us, I think one of the things that they have done really well is they know what they are. And so for us, as you know, one of the things we've been now very proud to talk about is this identity of fun, fast, and entertaining. This is our competitive advantage. In the world of football, we are fun, we are fast, and we are entertaining. In fact, I think I can proudly say, based on this past season and our history, funnest, fastest, and most entertaining brand of football in the world. We should be proud of that. I think what they've done is they are very proud of what they have, and that they will use that as the foundation on which everything else is built. I'd say if I was giving any advice, like I think about what we're doing, is understand who you are and focus on using that as the key driver of your long-term success. And I'm quite sure that they're going to have great success.
Well said. And lastly, you know, you mentioned fun, fast, entertaining. One thing is it's also the fans game. And we see great debate and conversation on the rules of the game and how unique they are and great they are. And one that we've seen debate over by different stakeholders is the ability to have a live onside kick, if you will, which Montreal used to great benefit. I won't necessarily ask you if you have a preference either way on that rule. If you don't, you'd be the only one, as it was somewhat divisive. But what do you make of the spirited conversation around the uniqueness of our game and maybe ways to make sure that it's always fun, fast, and entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's an important part of what we are. Look, there's Donovan, going back to our brand identity, there's really two sides to it. It's a reason to watch. Reason to watch is fun, fast, and entertaining. Reason to care is our connection to community. And that connection to community is the connection to, you know, to the cities that we play in, the connection to our fans. And the fans have a voice, a strong and important voice in our game, and they'll have a strong and important voice in our future. We should always care about that. That's fun. That's one of the things that makes us truly unique and special, is the accessibility that our fans feel as it relates to their ability to connect with us, their ability to connect with our players and with our teams. That's really important. Look, on this point, I think, you know, it's going to come up in rules committee this year. There'll be a conversation. One of the things that Greg Dick has done really well is he's really engaged with our, you know, with the football community within the league, with our GMs and coaches. And, you know, Greg's done a really good job of facilitating conversations with them on important issues. And I'm, you know, leaving that in his hands to talk about that rule and other, you know, potential rule, you know, investigations. They'll talk it through. And in the end, they'll make a recommendation that ultimately has to go to the Board of Governors to be approved. So it's a good process. It's actually a fun part of the off season, is to kind of say, look, we know we've got something great. Just the evidence of what's been happening in our game and how entertaining our product is. There's always a desire to kind of put that next little piece in place that even takes us one step further, you know, a step in the right direction. I like that. I think it's a fun part of the business season, the off season, as some might call it. And I'm looking forward to letting that that play out, and I think it'll be good. And the fans should definitely be involved. And you are absolutely right. I ain't getting involved in which way I would vote on that, because first of all, I don't get a vote on it, and secondly, I don't want to put myself in harm's way.
Well, I think either way, you're in harm's way, because if it's a rule that everyone likes, then great job, Rules Committee. And if it's a rule that no one likes, well, what did you do, Randy Ambrosi? It's your fault, Commissioner. So either way, we love the fact that the fans are engaged, even in the business season, as you say, at this time of year. Thanks so much for spending some of the time with us.
Donovan, it's always great to see you. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to CFL fans from across the country and frankly, around the world. We have something special. You know, I think if there's a thought that I entered 2024 with, is I think it's time for a little CFL swagger, a little more CFL swagger, recognizing that what we've got is special, what the history on which we build, base our future is special. And I'm excited about our future, and a big shout out to our governors who have invested heavily in the league and invested heavily in our future. And I'm excited about working with them to take the league to the next level.
Thanks again to Commissioner Randy Ambrosi for making the time. And again, it is technically the off season or the business season, but that does not mean he is not busy. In fact, I'd argue this time of year is probably more busy than in season, as he sets us up for success for next season. So we really appreciate the time and, quite frankly, the candor and transparency when it comes to expansion, something that we know you fans are desperate to see happen, but have a vested interest in finding out exactly where we are in that. My takeaway is, I don't think there's a wrong answer, whether it is Quebec City, you know, the love, as Randy talked about, for the football in that town, or it is a team in Atlantic Canada, you know, a team that represents all of the Maritimes. Two good options. I think the ideal thing for me is the number 10. Wherever the 10th team comes from, helping to have our game with a more predictable schedule, given an even number of teams and reflect the entire country, would be great. So more on that as things develop. The last expansion team, a team that was coming back into the league and gave us an odd number once again, is the Ottawa Redblacks, a team that had great success to start, has since fallen on some hard times, and they're desperate to get back to their winning ways. And Sean Burke is doing everything in his power to do that. And you're about to sense the level of desperation in his voice and his facial expressions. He really, really wants to give the fans in Ottawa something to cheer about. Again, and he has this offseason. We talked about Drew Brown. After we spoke to him, but before this podcast was released, obviously, he's been busy. There's always a ripple effect when it comes to talented players. The BC Lions, being led by Rick Campbell, who formerly was in Ottawa building that champion, they made some moves, and they extended Keon Hatcher. They've got such a talented wide receiving group. They also extended Alexander Hollins and Javon Katoy. That means the odd man out in terms of financially in that roster is Dominique Rimes, Mr. Headtop himself. He was released by the Lions, which means that, is he a player that's not at a top level anymore? No. In fact, Rick Campbell came out and cited salary cap reasons specifically as to why they had to let go of Rimes. And they really gave him, you know, an opportunity to land somewhere early. Well, it didn't take long, because Sean Burke came calling, brought Rimes back to Ottawa, where he was spending his off seasons living. Well, now he gets to spend the entire season there. As they announced Monday, they brought back Rimes to the place where he started his Red Blacks career in 2017 to 19. But we're in 2024. Almost said three. Old habits die hard. And the Red Blacks are looking forward and thinking they can make a real jump, not only into the postseason and beyond. So let's talk to Sean Burke about some of the methodology he's going through and the philosophy he's applying to building this team. And we can retroactively look at the moves that he's made and say, well, it makes a lot of sense. So take a listen to our interview with Ottawa GM from a few weeks ago, Sean Burke. So Berkey, this is, for me, when people in your role get to start to compete, is the off season. Do you go through and structure, you know, kind of what needs to get done by the front office staff throughout the offseason to make sure that when training camp hits, you're in a good spot?
Yeah, absolutely. You have a schedule of how things operate, and obviously there's surprises along the way or things that have to be sped up or slowed down. So, you know, when the season ended, obviously, with how our season ended, we wanted to do a deep dive evaluation and wanted to hear from the coaches and personnel staff of where they felt we were at as an organization, not only with the player roster, it's often talked about that, but an organization as a whole, from operations to coaching staff to everything. So you do that, and then you sort of prioritize as you get closer to free agency, getting some stuff done there. And I felt it was important for us to have some answers for our players before signing them of what we're going to look like next year in terms of coaching staff and who they'd play for and all those things. So the next couple of weeks will obviously busy. And then you sort of turn your focus to getting prepared for the draft. And we obviously have Chad Hudson here who works on our draft 365 days a year as our director of Canadian scouting, but Bob, myself, and the rest of the personnel staff will get more involved from there, you know. And then you have the less glorious things of player travel, team travel, and all those things, and budget times, and all that stuff. So it's definitely a busy off season. I remember when I first came in the league, they're like, "Oh, you get the off season off." I'm like, "No, this is our time to work now." So
when you talk about that evaluation, you know, of the past year, you're around it, you have your fingerprints on it, you get a sense for things, but were there any learnings that came from that surprised you?
You know, I think much like a game evaluation after the game, and I know you've heard this before with your background, but it's never as good as you think, and it's never as bad as you think. And, you know, I think we, despite having four wins last year, and we realize that's not good enough. At the end of the day, we know that. But at the same time, you have to take a deep breath and look that you do have some progress happening here, and you have some pieces in place. So it's good to take a second look after the season with less week to week emotions of it, because each week is an emotional week as you get prepared to play each week, and the game sort of culmination. And, you know, I say for myself, players and coaches after the game have 24 hours to either celebrate or get over it. And you have to turn on to the next week, where you can look at the season as a whole at the end of the year and decide where you have to get better and where you might feel you're strong enough to stay the course.
What were some of the areas that you identified as opportunities to get better, whether it's via draft or free agency or internal development?
Yeah, I just think growth, definitely. If you looked at our team, I think in the big moments of the games, I always say the game comes down to five or six key plays. We just didn't have enough of those plays go our way. And it's not to say, it's not okay to say, okay, well, maybe if we bounced this way or that way, it would have been different. There's a reason why so many of those plays didn't go our way. And, you know, we have to look at what we do in preparation, who we have out there in certain times, and go from there and really key in on those big moments that mean the most to our team. If it's on special teams, defense, or offensively, it seemed at times that all three phases had their turn of sort of not getting the job done. And we just have to have that consistency as a whole for the organization. But obviously, you know, when you're a 4-win team, you have to look at the whole collection of things. And, you know, I would say as a personnel staff and Coach Dice and myself, we're looking at every position group of how we can improve and how we can get more consistency.
Most important position, the most important room is the QB room. It's the most important position in sports. When you look at attacking that, what is for you the emphasis on what you want to do with that position moving forward?
You know, I would say we have some internal guys that have done a good job for us in tough times. You know, Dustin being thrown in the mix with very little experience showed a lot last year. But at the same time, you want to have a collection of guys. And I think you've seen that in pro football. You know, it was maybe talked about more in the CFL, but you look at the NFL this year with the number of quarterback injuries as well, is you want to have a complete group, because at the end of the day, no matter what happens back there, you have to win games, and you can't use injuries or underperformance as an excuse to not win games. So we want to have a deep quarterback room. We want to have the right guys in that room, and we want to have guys that want to lead the organization. So, you know, we'll definitely look, like I said, at all position groups, and that starts with the quarterback group. But we have to have a consistency in that group of guys that play each week and can lead the team out there.
You mentioned the injuries that we've seen at the position, and we saw a lot of position in CFL. We're seeing it now in the NFL. You know, as a fan of the game for a long time, you've been around it. Like, it's not that long ago that we just knew Danny Mac to start it every week. Hank was started every week. And now that's not the case. And the QB has never been more protected given the rules. Why do you think we're at an issue where we can't keep them upright?
I wish I had the answer. I probably wouldn't be getting asked about QBs right now. So, no, in all honesty, you know, I think just the performance of the athletes at other position groups defensively, we just have some great athletes out there that puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. And just the nature of football right now is at every position, there's a lot more injuries. Well, if teams are keen on to get you every play, it's natural that there could be some injuries there. But it's definitely an interesting question. It's something that's discussed at the league level. You know, we definitely understand, like you said, it's the most important position in not only football and pro sports, you said, and I agree with it. And to keep those guys healthy and upright, it's only going to provide a better product for our fan base, which is what you want at the end of the day. Obviously, a head coach and GM wants their quarterback to stay healthy for the team aspects, but we're in the entertainment business and we need our best guys staying on the field.
And lastly, I want to ask a little bit about the market, because when you made the decision to take the job, you know, just make the decision to take it for the Red Blacks, you took it, you know, for and in the city of Ottawa. We've seen the Peter AHL franchise have, you know, a record crowd before their record was broken. But I was talking to some other people, they were surprised at that number. I said, I wasn't really surprised, given how loyal and passionate the Red Black fan base has been in the same area. You're there. What has the vibe been in terms of that patient fan base, you know, yearning for some more sustained success?
We definitely have a great fan base, you know, love them. I try to be as accessible as possible for them. I know the last 5 years has been a struggle, and as a GM that comes in and takes a job, you have to sort of take the lumps of some of the previous lack of success. You're obviously hired for a reason because of the team going through a rough patch, and you have to hear people out, right? And we have passionate fans. We have a city that wants to get on board with a winning product. The organization obviously had initial success very early, and you saw what it meant in that stadium and in that city. And they're just looking for a reason to get behind us. And you know, that isn't lost on Coach Dice or myself daily. We believe we have the best fans in the league, and we live in a city that really wants to get behind their team and behind their sports teams. And you know, I often say, unfortunately, in Ottawa, the Sens and the Red Blacks have hit rough patches at the same time. So it's like the double frustration of both the fan bases. But like you said, with the women's hockey team and the success there, and then the 67s last year in their playoff run, we're a sports city that really wants to get behind their team. So it's exciting. It's something that drives you every day. You know, we expect to be a better team in 2024, obviously, but a more exciting team for our fan base as well.
Thanks so much, Berkey, for spending the time. And depending on when you listen to this, Sean Burke probably made another move. That is how aggressive he is. As we get close to free agency in February, we'll have lots more on all the movement, not just the Red Blacks, but the entire team. We're going to cover that in the coming weeks. I expect to see more trades as people start to put their boards together in terms of free agency, speak to agents in terms of what clients in the marketplace would want. You're going to have to move off some money or create some roster spots to build out your team. So don't be surprised if you see more movement before free agency happens. We don't want you to be surprised at all. In fact, we want you to be ready when these things happen. So make sure that you subscribe to this very podcast. Don't miss a thing. While you're at it, go on YouTube. I need a thumbs up. Give me a like for all of the podcast clips. Listen on Spotify or Apple or both. Like, just get multiple devices, press play at the exact same time, and share with your friends while you're at it. My friend Enoch will be back. Thank you for listening. We'll both talk to you soon.